Now is our time for scripture reading, so Marianne, Debbie, and Natalie can come join me. We're going to be reading Romans 12, which is one of my favorite passages. And I was enjoying this week reading it in different versions. And just enjoyed hearing the different ways that that's stated, that these verses are stated. So I'm going to read the first 8 verses in the New Living Translation, and then you will take turns reading from the New Living, from ESV, from the Passion, and the Message. So you can just enjoy listening to the different translations of this. Romans 12. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Because of the privilege and authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Don't think you are better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourselves by the faith God has given you. Just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly.
Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good.
Let the inner movement of your heart always be to love one another, and never play the role of an actor wearing a mask. Despise evil and embrace everything that is good and virtuous.
Love from the center of who you are. Don't fake it. Run for dear life from evil. Hold on for dear life to good.
Don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong and hold tightly to what is good.
Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor.
Be devoted to tenderly loving your fellow believers as members of one family. Try to outdo yourselves in respect and honor of one another.
Be good friends who love deeply. Practice playing second fiddle.
Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other.
Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord.
Be enthusiastic to serve the Lord, keeping your passion toward him boiling hot. Radiate with the glow of the Holy Spirit and let him fill you with excitement as you serve him.
Don't burn out. Keep yourself fueled and aflame. Be alert servants of the Master, cheerfully and expectant.
Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically.
Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer.
Let this hope burst forth within you, releasing a continual joy. Don't give up in the time of trouble, but commune with God at all times.
Don't quit in hard times. Pray all the harder.
Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying.
Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality.
Take a constant interest in the needs of God's beloved people and respond by helping them, and eagerly welcome people as guests into your home.
Help needy Christians be advent in hospitality.
When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality.
Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them.
Speak blessing, not cursing, over those who reject and persecute you.
Bless your enemies, no cursing under your breath.
Bless those who persecute you. Don't curse them. Pray that God will bless them.
Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep.
Celebrate with those who celebrate and weep with those who grieve.
Laugh with your happy friends when they're happy. Share tears when they're down.
Be happy with those who are happy and weep with those who weep.
Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight.
Live happily together in a spirit of harmony, and be as mindful of another's worth as you are your own. Don't live with a lofty mindset, thinking you are too important to serve others, but be willing to do menial tasks and identify with those who are humble-minded. Don't be smug or even think for a moment that you know it all.
Get along with each other. Don't be stuck up. Make friends with nobodies. Don't get the great somebody.
Live in harmony with each other. Don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people, and don't think you know it all.
Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all.
Never hold a grudge or try to get even, but plan your life around the noblest way to benefit others.
Don't hit back. Discover beauty in everyone.
Never pay back evil with more evil. Do things in such a way that everyone can see you are honorable.
If possible, so far it depends on you, live peaceably with all.
Do your best to live as everybody's friend.
If you got it in you, get along with everyone.
Do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. Dear friends, never take revenge. Leave that to the righteous anger of God. For the scriptures say, "I will take revenge, I will pay them back," says the Lord. Instead, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. And in doing this, you will heap burning coals of shame on their heads. Don't let evil conquer you, but conquer evil by doing good. Troy, we'll invite you up.
All right, thanks so much, wow, for that great soaking. Let's just take a moment of quiet and just receive that into your heart. And if there's a phrase or a word that really stuck out to you, just invite the Lord to speak more about that. Let's just take a moment of quiet and receive that into our lives today. Lord, your word is life and light to us, and we just say yes to it. We receive it. Do your work in us today as we sit with it. Jesus' name. Amen. Well, yes, thank you. Tim and Krista for leading us so well in that soaking in God's presence from the songs and then in the Word. And that was, as I was praying about this morning, I just felt like that picture of sometimes when you plant a new tree, it tells you to soak the roots first before you put it in the ground. So there's lots of water in there that brings forth the life. And I feel like that was my heart for this morning again. And you guys have, I didn't share that with you guys, but you've helped us do that so well. Just letting the Word soak. Sometimes we have to understand and discuss and question, you know, to understand what God's saying to us. And sometimes we just got to kind of let it soak. Let it soak in so that the life comes out of us. And with these verses in Romans 12, I think that's what God is doing among us this morning and what we want to continue to do. So you can keep your Bibles open. We're not going anywhere else this morning except right there in these incredible verses. And just to remember again that all of this is built on a foundation of lives that are surrendered, as Krista read at the beginning, surrendered bodies and lives that are surrendered to God in worship, so that His Spirit can live through us. And as we make that commitment and posture, then we're saying yes to every thought and motivation and perspective that God is bringing to our lives, and we're saying no to every thought and motivation and perspective that keeps ourselves in the center of the world, of our lives. And we're putting God in the center. And last week, we talked about how part of that, from verses 4 down through 8, were encouraging us of how we come together in this body, that we each belong to each other, that part of our offering our bodies to Jesus, what He does is make us belong to each other. And that belonging to each other is such a central piece of what it means to be the body of Christ. And I was reminded again as you were reading in this, to be devoted to one another in love. Another way of saying that our lives are intertwined in a way that somehow we belong and are devoted to each other. And then the rest of this Romans 12 is helping us see again how, what does that actually look like? What does it feel like? What does it smell and taste like? What is it? What are we saying yes to when we say yes to follow Jesus? And this is one of the passages among others that just Paul tries to paint a picture of what it's going to look like when that reality in verses 1 and 2 is being lived out among a people. And we have to remember that this, as we've said before, is not a checklist or an evaluation in the sense of am I doing good or not. That will not lead us into life. But this is a guidepost so we know, oh, when we see these things happening in our lives, we want to say yes to them more, because they are being driven by the Spirit of God. And things that are opposite of these things are saying not to do, we want to say, oh, that must be me trying to get back into the middle. And that, as we've said, takes some discernment. But it is what the Spirit of God invites us into, that journey of more and more of Jesus. So I asked you to read 9 to 21 this week and to come again with some of your treasures of what does this look like in your life? What are these verses? How does it play out in your lived experience? Because again, we don't want this just to be a pipe dream, right? We don't want it just to be good things that are nice. But what does it actually feel and look like in our lives? This kind of living, and that can be a way that it, again, that somebody that you've experienced it from somebody else. Well, in this situation, this person seemed to really be living out this thing, or a way that you felt like God was leading you to live out one of these things, or a way that you have questions. What does that actually mean to live out that thing? I'm not sure what that actually looks like. So whether you're bringing an encouragement or a question or just a feeling of this is something that God is speaking to me that I want to do more of, we're gonna have some time to share some of those things, just like we did a couple weeks ago. So you can be thinking about that. I'll, again, start us off with a couple of ways that I've learned or seen these things lived out, and then I'll open it up for others here. Well, a big part of this, the last part, is about doing good for evil. And I was thinking about how I've seen that or experienced that in my own life. And this is starting it off a little bit light for this one. Was at Wilderness Camp, Spruce Lake Wilderness Camp, where I went many years as a child and learned a lot about God. And one of the things I learned was this verse, because one week, as often happens at camp, one of the girls' tents pranked our tent and did very mean things to us. Actually, I don't remember what they did. They probably put something in our sleeping bags or messed up our tent or took something from us. It was actually an ongoing feud by the counselors that we kind of got caught in. So we came back from doing the activity and realized they had done something to us. And we started plotting, of course, directly of how we're going to get them back. And then my counselor brought up this verse. He said, well, it says to repay evil with good. And that week was blueberry season, and the kitchen said, if you pick us blueberries, we'll make you a blueberry pie. So we said, all right, well, what we're going to do is we're going to go pick blueberries, and we'll make a blueberry pie, and we'll give it to this girl's tent in a very public fashion, of course. So that's what we did. When everybody was together before dinner, we all stood up and said, we were the victims of this kind of abuse, and now we are going to repay. Obviously, there's a lot of spite involved in that, and maybe that's not a good example. But I began, that was one time when I began to learn that God invites us to this kind of blessing in response to curses. The next one I'll share, and then I'll open it up, is from this, love must be sincere. And this was a little more challenging for me when I was, I never forgot this. When I was 18, I was in Harrisburg as part of the YES program. Part of our outreach was to serve homeless people every weekend. So we joined with another ministry and we went down into Harrisburg, served homeless people. And I was, of course, very zealous to do what was good. And so we went down and I met this guy, one of the homeless guys, and we were with the ministry that was handing out food and clothing, and I was talking to him, and he told me he goes to the library a lot during the day. So I decided one day I had a free day, I would go to the library and meet him and try to help him more. So I went to the library, and sure enough, I found him. We started talking, and I don't remember much about that conversation, except at one point he looked at me and he said, I know what you're trying to do. You're just trying to help me. Because you think you can come down and help me. And I was like, yeah, that's what I thought. He said, you don't understand the complexity of what you're trying to do. And you certainly don't understand my life. And I said, well, so tell me about your life. And that started a conversation that took me from having a very kind of shallow view of what love is to understanding that this is way more complex than I understand. It doesn't mean that I was wrong in what I was trying to do. It just means that his open sharing really helped me understand, oh, if love is going to be sincere, then it's going to cost me a lot more than what I was realizing. And the complexity of what I'm stepping into is not going to be done in an hour. This is something that's going to take a long, long time. And I'm so grateful that he helped me to understand that in that moment. So those are two ways that I experienced these verses. So I want to open it up and say, what stories, thoughts, questions, feelings do you have as these verses kind of soak into your roots, as you let them soak in? What does God stir in your heart? Who wants to give us another thought?
With our focus on the mercy of God, I just feel like I get tested more and more on that because we're looking at that. This was one of those weeks, and Tuesday evening, a friend asked if I could help her pack some of her things for the movers that were to come the next day. She was going to be moving in with her mom to care for her. But it turns out it was much, much more than just packing a few things. We had to cancel the movers coming. But God's mercy, he provided the help of a neighbor of hers. And as a team, we worked diligently, literally all day, Wednesday and Thursday, and even Saturday morning as well. So thinking about examples of the Romans 12 scriptures, I was loving, genuinely, remaining respectful and honorable of her, considering her circumstances. I was being a good friend. We remained enthusiastic, and I was actually feeling very honored that God chose her neighbor and I to help his daughter, my friend, through this overwhelming situation and project. Like, he kept us fueled with joy in the process, and so we didn't get burned out. However, I did need to keep reminding myself to speak honorably of her, even though some of her unhealthy habits found her in this place. And I also experienced verse 16, don't live with a lofty mindset. when another separate negative situations seem to simultaneously compile on Friday, I met my limit, and I had to ask forgiveness of another friend for my unkind response toward her request at that moment. But in God's mercy, she understood, she forgave, and we talked it through, and it made us even closer. So in God's mercy, my friend got moved without the movers. In God's mercy, I'm continually reminded how I need to give grace and mercy as God continuously gives me grace and mercy.
That's great. Yeah, it's so good to remind when we're struggling. It's easy. I was just thinking about that, honoring one another with our words and actions. It's beautiful. Others, what thoughts, questions, stories do you have as you think about these verses? You let them soak in. Yeah, thoughts are examples. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Any of those speak to you this morning or stir your thoughts and minds as we soak in those words?
Yeah, this week we had opportunity to take the grandkids out to a ball game to see Cindy and to enjoy that evening. But we were treated with special treatment because we got to park in the special parking lot, and there's a tenant there that we know his name, so we get to greet him. And but it had just stopped raining, and a little while before that, and commented about that, and he said, well, he was told sunshine after a rain like that was something with the devil's rain, sunshine. I don't know. Something didn't sound very nice. And I said, well, I always look for a rain billy after, then when the sun comes out after a rain. And then he went on to say that, yeah, that's the promise that God won't send another flood like he did before. And I said, yeah, so it reminds us of God's faithfulness. God's always to be with us and guide us. And then he made some comment about that too. And so just about spiritual fervor, you know, it's like, you know, bring God into the situation, into the conversation, and hopefully he can be encouraged by that little interaction we had.
Yeah, usually we think of spiritual fervor as kind of like energy or doing a lot of things, but I love your example about just being aware of the opportunities around us in every relationship and topic. Thanks. Any other thoughts that are stirring, questions or stories? Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, "It's mine to avenge. I will repay," says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Any other thoughts or stories or questions come to your mind as you soak with that, soak in that? What does it mean to bless those who curse you? I don't know if anybody's made it all the way through our devotional book for the emotionally healthy relationships yet, but this really spoke powerfully to Michelle and I through the first 6 months of this year. And there's a prayer in here that is really beautiful. It's on page 208, and I think this is a concrete way that we can bless. What does it mean to bless those who curse us in to speak a blessing? So this is a blessing that you can pray over someone who has hurt you, who you're in the process of forgiving or releasing. Some of you probably read this already, but I thought it would be good just to read it as a very practical way. A tool that we can use to actually do that. So somebody that has hurt you or upset you or harmed you in some way, obviously there's stuff that has to be worked through, but this is one prayer that we can have in our hearts. May you be happy. May you be free. May you be loving. May you be loved. May you know the fulfillment of what God has planned for you. May you experience God's deep, profound love for you. May Jesus Christ be formed in you. May you know his peace that passes all understanding. May all good things be yours. May Jesus' joy be in you, and may that joy be complete. May you know the Lord in all his goodness and compassion. May you be protected from the evil one amidst every temptation that comes your way. May the Holy Spirit fill and permeate your entire being. May you see his glory. May you be forgiven of every sin. I forgive you of every wound and hurt with all my heart. May God's goodness and mercy follow you all the days of your life. What a powerful prayer to hold with us when we feel hurt that is bound to come our way in this world. To have this prayer to be able to actively live out this word to bless those who curse. This is a way that we can easily do that in our prayers, in our mind, and in our hearts. So that's on page 208 of that book if you want a copy. Any other thoughts on what these verses mean or how they propel you into God's life?
I always feel when I come into a new place that I should just sit there and keep my mouth shut, and then I never do a good job of that. I'm reminded, and Troy, I am like one of my greatest weaknesses is responding favorably to persecution, not a strength at all. But it reminds me of as you were reading that prayer, it reminded me of one time in my 60-some years of life that I handled it well. And this could be a very long story, so I'm really going to shorten it. I was the director of the Career and Technology Center in Lebanon County at the time. And unlike Lancaster County, Lebanon County is a small county. It only has 6 school districts in Lebanon County. And the way Career and Technology Centers work is you don't tax people to get money. The member school districts pay to have their students served. And one particular school district, the school board and the superintendent had behaved very irresponsibly. They were loved for it, but they behaved very irresponsibly by not raising taxes for 8 years. And so what happens when a school district doesn't raise taxes for 8 years is inflation continues. You know, salaries increase, the expense of insurance increases. So they behave very irresponsibly, and after 8 years, they discovered in their next year's budget that they would have to cut 10% of their expenses just to meet budget, because they couldn't raise their taxes high enough at that point to meet their expenses. And so, just not wanting to take responsibility for that, they decided that the reason they were in this terrible place was because my school, the Career and Technology Center, was just ripping them off, and we were behaving irresponsibly. And I came to know this one afternoon. I was sitting in my office, and our business manager came in, and there's a sort of famous talk show in Lebanon County, and on the radio, and he came in and said, "The president of the school board's on there calling you an arrogant blank of a blank." And I was like, okay, I've never met this man, and I'm pretty sure he hasn't met me, but just to make the long story short, you know, what the Lord, it was one of those situations where without doing anything, we were going to win. We couldn't lose. You know, law was entirely on our side. The state was going to take their money from them and pay us if they refused to. Oh, we could. But nonetheless, to make themselves look better among their constituents, they just spent, it probably went on for 5 months where they just continually bashed us and bashed us and bashed us. And, you know, we went to many public hearings and answered all their questions. And what the Lord showed me at that point was, George, we've already won. Just let him beat up on you as much as he wants. Just let him beat up on you, because in the end, your school wins. And, you know, what can he really do to you? You know, and so, you know, it just, in so many situations in life, and in the most important areas of life, Jesus has already won the battle, you know? And our enemies can just beat up on us, you know? A little lesson that I learned from a not very good man was never defend yourself, because you just wind up making things look worse. And, you know, Lord over and over tells us, I'm your defender, you know? I'm your defender. Let them rage against you all you want, you know. In my strength, you can take the punch, you know. So.
Yeah, well, what a powerful story. And I was reminded of something we heard the other day, too, that we can't, I think a little bit of what you were saying, we can't fight Satan's wars with Satan's weapons. Hey, we have other weapons, and our weapons are goodness and peace and righteousness and truth. And we have to stick to those no matter what other people are doing. I think that's such a beautiful way. Well, I'll finish us up with this one more thing out of here that has been another powerful thought for me. Great story on, and I think it summarizes so much of this Romans 12, including maybe especially when people, when we're treated poorly, and the call is to continue to love. So this is a story from the Russian novel, The Brothers Karamazov. Maybe you've read this as well in one of these. But the story of, it's a story of a wealthy woman who asks an elderly monk how she can know if God exists. He tells her, no explanation or argument can achieve this, only the practice of active love. The monk speaks glowingly of love for God, which comes as a result of love for others. The wealthy woman then confesses that she sometimes dreams about living a life of service to others. At such times, she thinks perhaps she will become a sister of mercy, live in holy poverty, and serve the poor in the humblest of way. But then it crosses her mind how ungrateful some of the people she would serve are likely to be. They would probably complain that the soup she served isn't hot enough, or the bread wasn't fresh enough, or the bed was too hard. She confesses she could not bear such ingratitude. And so her dreams about serving others vanish. And once again, she finds herself wondering if there is a God. To this, the wise monk responds, love in practice is a harsh and dreadful thing compared with love in dreams. And that statement has, I think, is so helpful as we follow Jesus. Love in practice is a harsh and dreadful thing compared to love in dreams. Because in practice, it's real life with real people and real issues and real situations that are more complex than any of us can get our minds wrapped around. People that are more complex, we who are more complex than any of us could understand. And to live in the kind of love that God is inviting us to in Romans 12 and other passages, and saying yes to follow Jesus, is to say, as we've said before, this is the life we were created to live. This is why God pieced us together in our mother's womb. This is why he thought of us before time began and put us on this earth, because he wanted us to experience the same love and life that he himself experiences in the Trinity. But for God's sake, don't think it's going to be easy. And as we say yes to these passages like Romans 12 of following Jesus, we know that there's going to be times when we don't feel like it. We know there's going to be times when it doesn't seem fair. Right? How many times have you said that in your life? This is not fair. Right, Marianne, as you're helping on the 20th box. This is not fair. It's not what I signed up for. This is not right. And God's call is, come on. Love must be sincere. Right? Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another. Come on. Keep going. This is Jesus walking with his disciples. This is what God's saying to the Father is saying to Jesus as he's walking with his disciples. Come on. And Jesus is saying, how long do I have to stay with these guys? And the Father says, come on. Keep coming. The plan is going to work. It's going to work. Yes, even through them, we can do this. Come on. And as he's at the garden, I mean, we don't know what all he knew, right? But he's at the garden ready to give up his life. And one of the questions has to be, are these guys really going to make it? Is this going to be worth it? Are these guys going to be able to carry this guy? And the Father says, yes, come on. Yes, they will. And that's what he says when he looks at each of us, too. You read this passage and think, this is a pipe dream. This is, no, who can actually live this stuff? Jesus says, come on. You have everything you need to allow this kind of life to flow through you. Today and tomorrow. And of course, there's going to be times when that old flesh life that we've already offered to God comes back and we get back in the center and we start doing our selfish thing, right? That's okay. He knows that's there. And he is very willing to take it out. But when we look at this picture, as I've said before, I used to look at these verses and think, oh, God, I'm so terrible. I'm not even close. But as we encounter God's grace, his mercy, as we offer our bodies, part of what we're offering our lives to him is to say, God, you can make me like this. This is the kind of person you can make me. This is the kind of community that you can make us. Yes, God, do it. Do it. This is what we want to be. And when we find ourselves not doing it, we just have to go back to verse 1. Encounter God's mercy again. Offer our bodies again. Say, yes, God, do it. Do it in us. Yes. You think God can make us this kind of community? You think God can make you into this kind of person? Well, God is very convinced he can. So, Lord, come and do it. As we soak in these verses, we again see a picture of life that is so far beyond our reality. But today, again, we refuse, God, to bring you down to our experience. And we say, God, would you take us into your experience? This is how you live every single day, God, in perfect goodness, in perfect joy, in perfect patience. And you offer that life to us through your Holy Spirit. So even as we sat this morning and we soaked in these pictures of your goodness and of your life, Lord, we pray that let this word of God that is words that impact our mind, but through your Spirit fill our entire beings. Let it fill us again, God. And those places in our lives that need to be touched by this word this morning, we just say, yes, God, would you touch them? And will we stay long enough in your word to allow it to fill and saturate our entire lives? We say again, God, how beautiful is your word. What a gift that keeps us out of things that would destroy us and leads us into everything that is life by your Spirit. So we just say, yes, Lord, pour it out more. Pour it out more on us, we pray. Thank you so much for the incredible privilege, the incredible gift of being your people, living by your Spirit and your word. May it lead us into fullness of life again this week, God. We receive it, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.